direct your attention this evening to Psalm 65, verse 5, for the text of the sermon. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening we have come again to the house of God to praise our Lord and our Savior and to pay our vows to Him. The Lord our God is the God who hears and answers prayer. He hears the prayers of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only man who is without sin, who is also true and eternal God, our Savior, our only prophet, our great high priest, forever after the order of Melchizedek, and our eternal King. Jesus Christ is God's well-beloved Son, in whom the Father is well pleased. Jesus has made full atonement for our sins. His blood removes all our iniquities from us, and His perfect obedience and complete righteousness merit everlasting life and God's salvation and God's blessings for us. What a great blessing that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. First, through Christ's merit and atonement, we have access to God. God causes us to approach Him and to dwell in His courts. We may come to God with boldness in prayer because He chose us and He brings us near to Himself. God's electing love and sovereign grace give us great grace to pray to God. Christ has earned an entrance into heaven. We come into the presence of God in heaven with the same right as our Lord Jesus Christ when He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father if we trust in Him and in Him alone. Second, through Christ's merit and atonement, God accepts us and adopts us as His own children and heirs of all things. We are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Third, through Christ's merit and atonement, God assures us of eternal life. There are no greater spiritual blessings than these. In our text in Psalm 65, verse 5, the Lord illustrates in another way how blessed we are that God has chosen us and causes us to approach to Him. God hears and answers prayer. His glory is that He answers prayer in a way that fills our hearts with awe and wonder. God answers the prayers of His people by awesome deeds in righteousness. We praise the Lord in silence with holy reverence and godly fear. Our hearts are struck with awe at the answers God gives us to our prayers. Just as God overthrows His enemies in a way that strikes fear into men's hearts at the power and the justice of the eternal and living God, so God's awesome deeds in righteousness strike the reverent fear of God into the hearts of men. Who would not fear a God whose blows are so crushing? We do not always know what we are asking for when we pray. God's answers to our prayer put fear and awe into our hearts. We pray that God will sanctify us and God sends us a trial. We pray for more faith and God gives us affliction. We pray for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's grace to sinners. And God scatters His people through persecution and He takes the lives of martyrs. Nevertheless, it is good to continue to pray. Everything which our Lord and our Savior gives us in His love is for our good. Nothing He gives us will harm us. In this verse, in Psalm 65, God's righteousness and salvation are united. God's gracious answers put the awe and the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Where but in the Lord Jesus Christ could these things meet together? God's awesome deeds in righteousness make the hearts of unbelievers melt, like Pharaoh and all of his army in the middle of the Red Sea. But those who believe in the true and living God, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, stand still and see the salvation of God, which He works through awesome and fearful deeds of righteousness. Things are not always what they seem to be to the eyes of men. God, who is great and glorious and awesome, is also our refuge from terror in His well-beloved Son. In Psalm 65, verse 5, our Savior Jesus Christ and all who believe in Him address God directly. They're not satisfied with talking about God, but they talk directly to God. Public prayer is not talking about God in front of other people. Public prayer is speaking to God. It is pleading with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit at the mercy seat of heaven, which is sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb who was slain for our sins. We carry our whole heart straight to heaven and pour it out before the Lord in prayer. Who is the God who will answer us? Who is the God who will answer our prayers? He is the God of our salvation. We all need salvation. You need salvation from sin. I need salvation from sin. We need salvation from all God's enemies, from all our enemies. Human nature is corrupt, totally depraved, and spiritually dead. God alone is our hope. Salvation is only in God. God is the God of our salvation. You do not properly understand yourself, and you do not properly understand God, unless you see that by nature you need the triune God to save you from your sin. The greatest saint on earth is still a sinner. The most intelligent man, the man with the most experience, still needs God. No man who lives is safe from destruction unless the Lord God is constantly and continually the God of his salvation. We all need to ask for God to save us from the guilt of our sin, from the power of our sin, from the curse that comes because of our sin. It should be our great joy that the Lord graciously condescends to provide all of this for us in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. This salvation brings God to us and us to God. Men see the works of God in creation. Men see the works of God daily in providence, in history, which is the working out of God's eternal decrees. But they do not see God in His works. Their minds are blinded by their sin, and so they do not see God. The only way to God is by Jesus Christ, our Savior. No man ever comes to God except through Jesus, who is the way of salvation. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no person, no one comes to the Father except through me. God comes to us in His rich, redeeming love. The glorious God came here to earth in the person of His Son, that He might reconcile us to Himself, that He might save us from our sins. The only way that we can come to God is through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came for our salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees and a ruler of the Jews, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Salvation brought God to us, and salvation must bring us to God, or else we shall be lost forever. Blessed be our gracious and glorious God forever and ever. He is the God of our salvation in Christ Jesus. Our text says, You will answer us, O God of our salvation. What will He answer? He answers, I alone am able to save you completely. Our salvation is entirely His work from beginning to end. No human work of salvation can save you from your sins. Jonah cried out to God in prayer from the belly of the great fish that was swimming in the sea. Salvation is of the Lord. This salvation began in God's everlasting purpose, in His holy covenant of grace, in His sovereign choice of His people in eternity. This salvation is fully accomplished by the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God applies it to us by working in us to make us alive spiritually, to illumine our minds, to give us true saving faith to trust in Jesus Christ alone as our righteousness, and to give us true repentance, who might turn from our sin to God and live for Him. Salvation is of the Lord completely from beginning to end. There's not one bit of man's merit or man's work that can contribute to our salvation. Christ is the God of our salvation. He is the maker of it. He is the all in all of our salvation. I ask you this evening, do you have a salvation that you have manufactured for yourselves? Throw it away as fast as you can, or it will ruin you. The only salvation that can redeem from God's eternal punishment in hell is a salvation which comes from heaven. Eternal salvation must come from an eternal God. Salvation that makes you a new creature must be the work of Him who sits upon the throne of God and makes all things new. It is the work of Him who created all things in the first place, without whom nothing was made that was made. How will God answer us? It is a remarkable thing that in this salvation there is a strange mixture of the awesome deeds which strike fear in our hearts and God's tender love and grace. Our text says, by awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. In the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the salvation of God. In the death of Christ, we see the just wrath of a holy and just God against our terrible sin. And yet the Lord is most gracious. The Lord is most merciful to us sinners. God uses the sword of His justice to strike His only Son, Jesus, the shepherd. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The Bible says. To do right, He must punish sin. And oh, how terrible it is to view our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, bowing His head unto death on the cross in the sinner's place, in our place, for we are sinners. And bearing in His own innocent person the terrible wrath of God for our sins, for our transgressions, for the pollution and the corruption of our souls. He bore our punishment. Our sins crucified the Lord of glory. It was indeed a display of awesome deeds in righteousness when the perfect Son of God sweated great drops like blood and suffered in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly before His arrest and crucifixion. God's perfect righteousness was revealed when the Roman soldiers scourged Jesus, put a crown of thorns on His head, spit upon Him, beat Him, mocked Him, and nailed Him to a tree where He hung dying while He suffered and endured all the wrath and curse of God for our sins, without the comfort of His Holy Father's presence. He cried out in anguish, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Congregation, when the Father's well-beloved Son bore those terrible sufferings, those terrible pains, that terrible anguish by which God upheld His own honor and His own justice and His own righteousness and His own truth, His own holy character, it was a most awesome day. Not even the suffering of the lost forever in hell is more terrible for a tender and godly mind to meditate on than our Lord Jesus Christ being made sin and a curse for us when He hung on the cross at Golgotha. We pray for salvation. The Lord, Jehovah, answers us by awesome deeds in righteousness. He bids us to behold His answer in the blood of His only begotten Son, shed for our complete salvation. When God works in us by His Holy Spirit, He mixes the awesome and fearful with His grace. If you have been praying to God to save you, if He has answered you, He has shown you how terrible your sin is in His holy sight. To see your guilt, to see your present ruin, to see your future everlasting destruction makes you tremble terribly. We see ourselves wrecked by our sins. We see our sinful nature before we see ourselves saved by God's great grace. Conviction of sin does not come to every sinner with the same degree of force. But for some it is a terrible bondage under the curse of God's law, and there is no hope at all of salvation, they think. We reel to and fro and we stagger under the burden of our sins. We are at our wit's end. And the Lord comes to us with His drawn sword of judgment before we have eyes to see His mercy and His grace. He makes us give up self-righteousness. He makes us give up self-confidence. He makes us give up any notion that we are good in any way ourselves, so that we come and lay hold on Christ as our only salvation, as our only hope, as our only righteousness, as our only Savior. He is our only and complete Savior by grace through faith. You will not get in the lifeboat of salvation if you think your own boat is still good enough to carry you. No. But when you are sinking, when you have no other hope of salvation, when you have nowhere else to whom you can turn for salvation and deliverance, then you see your great need of Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, to save you from destruction forever without end. The God of our salvation has revealed Himself to many of us, not as one who winks at sin, but as a consuming fire. Many churches today preach a God who is not in the Bible. The true God is just, as well as gracious, and will by no means allow His holy law to be despised. He is tender, kind, and loving, but His judgments are terrible. They put terror into the hearts of men. His judgments are perfectly righteous. He sets the heavens ablaze, and His terrible voice is heard above the roaring of the sea. Indeed, the elements of the universe are in confusion. Deep calls unto deep. The heavens clasp hands with the ocean. He is a dreadful God. There is none like Him. There is none like He is in power and justice. Indeed, the burning ones, the seraphim, cry to one another, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." He can strike with an iron hand when He comes forth to deal with our sin. He caused His enemies to sink to the bottom of the Red Sea. He is terrible out of His holy places, the Bible says. He is the God of heaven, whom even the heaven of heavens cannot contain. But He digs a deep pit for the wicked, out of which they shall never escape. The Lord makes those whom He saves to know Him as He really is, as He has revealed Himself to us in Scripture and in creation and in history, not as man wants Him to be. I trust that many of you can say of the Lord, "He is the God of my salvation." Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is my hope and my joy and my salvation. He is glorious in holiness. He is awesome in righteousness. And I love Him all the more because He hates iniquity and He will not endure evil. The difficulty with most men, with most people, is that they will not have God to be their Savior. They want to save themselves. But what can we do? What merit do we have? What wisdom do we have? What strength do we have? We are proud fools and deceive ourselves. Some people think they can do what God can do. God says, "No, do not boast in yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Full, complete, free. To all who call upon Him in true faith, able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through Jesus Christ." If the Lord needs you to cast yourself in Jesus' hands and trust in Him alone, then you will be safe. God saves, and there is nothing for us to do but to trust Him and not be afraid. God answers with awesome deeds in righteousness, but He answers truly and rightly. No other help can deliver you, but if you cry out to God, you shall find His strength to be all sufficient for your need, both for crushing your sin and for growing in grace. He will answer us. After an interval, a time of terrible storm, He will bless us with rest, with joy, with peace. Our text says that God who hears and answers prayer and is the God of our salvation is the confidence of all the ends of the earth. To have confidence is to trust in someone or something. All men have a confidence. All men trust in someone or in something, even if it is themselves. Those who place all their confidence in the Lord God are wise. What are the ends of the earth? The ends of the earth are all the nations and peoples of the world. When God made His covenant with Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, God promised that in Abram all the families of the earth would be blessed through the covenant of grace that He made with Abram and with his seed after him. And God repeats this promise throughout the scriptures. All the nations of the earth shall turn to the Lord. Prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." And the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11, "Therefore remember that you once, the nations, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 2, "And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near." Those who live at the ends of the earth are those farthest away from God. Those who are farthest off from His church, from His gospel, from hope, from anything that is good, and from God Himself, may come to God through Jesus Christ and be saved from their sins and rescued from everlasting condemnation. Perhaps you think this evening, "I'm the farthest off from God of anybody I know, or maybe anybody that has ever lived. I've been guilty of so many terrible sins. I've committed all kinds of evil and transgression. I've gone as far away from God and His righteousness as is possible for someone to go. I'm at the ends of the earth." God says to you this evening, trust in the Lord, and you will find salvation in Him, even in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who cries, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The ends of the earth may also refer to those who are least known. There are people scattered abroad on the face of the earth, of whom nobody knows anything. They themselves do not know who their father or mother were. And no one cares to acknowledge them. Nobody calls them brother or sister. Nobody knows where they came from. Nobody knows where they live. Nobody knows where they are. They want to be forgotten. They would not like to have their story told. Their character is such that they can get better on without it than with it being told. Jesus Christ is worthy to be the confidence, the trust of those who are least known. They're known to Him. He knows their past. He knows the present. He knows their future. Oh, that sinners who were far off in that way, those who are least known, would come and put their trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. The ends of the earth are the parts that are least thought of. You think no one cares for me? No one hears me crying out in my soul? Everyone passes me by. No one knows the hurt in my life, the aching in my heart. Are you like a man on a raft in the middle of the ocean? You've seen many ships go by, but no one sees you. No one comes to rescue you. Put your trust in the Lord. You who are derelict, you who are drifting fast to destruction, for Jesus Christ is the confidence, the trust of all the ends of the earth. Looking to God when you have no one else to look to, you will find in Him a Savior forever. The ends of the earth may also mean the most tried. You who are the most poor, the most sick, you who have the least ability and the least talent, you should make God your confidence. For He delights to be the strength of the weak. He delights to be the hope of the despairing. He delights to be the fullness of the empty. God's grace is the hospital for sick souls. Come and enter. He lifts the poor from the garbage heap, from the manure pile, and He sets them among princes, the Bible says. And you're driven to your wits' end. You don't know what else to do. When you're brought down to the very last dregs of life itself, take the Lord for your confidence. Trust in Jesus Christ and it shall be well with your soul. For He is a complete and glorious Savior, even for all the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth are the hardest places to reach. There are people around us right now, men, women, children, male, female, who are hard to get at. We do not know how to speak to them so that they will understand. We would, if we could, do them good. But they're half afraid of us and we're afraid of them. Maybe that they're so proud and conceited that we can hardly get a good word in edgewise with them. And yet the Lord is ready to help even these. Those whom no man is able to pity, whom no man is able to help, God can love, God can save. Man's arm is too short. Man's hand is too weak to reach these shipwrecked souls, drowning, dying, floundering, without any help. They're cast away. They're left for dead. There's no hope for them except in the Lord, the God of salvation, who hears and answers prayer. In Him they may trust. For He is the confidence of all the ends of the earth. When you are at your worst, God is still at His best. When you are all misery, He is all mercy. When you are at the ends of the earth, you may be at the beginning of heaven. God is the confidence of those who are on the far off seas, our text says. In God we have a foundation that cannot be moved. All else is fickle, subject to change. God is unchangeable. God is immutable. If you're out in the middle of the sea, you're subject to great dangers. But if you are a Christian, your confidence and trust is in the Lord your God, who is watching over the whole world all at once. O true child of God, O true believer, let your faith, let your confidence be in the true and living God, whether you are on the sea or on the land. He made them both. Say, O God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give you praise. What if the devil himself should be let loose upon us as he was let loose upon Job, that godly and upright man in the Old Testament? Let us still trust in the Lord. When God gives the devil enough rope, he will soon be jumping upon us and attacking us. He'll be trying to get us down, put our confidence somewhere else, to disobey and dishonor the one who has made us and who redeems us. My brothers and sisters, do not fear the devil, for Jesus Christ is the Lord of the devil. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And he can pull the devil up short when he comes rushing out to attack us. Do not be afraid. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is the confidence of all those who are on the far off seas shall be our confidence even in a world of storms, violent storms. What a mercy in such times to have confidence in God. To have faith and trust in God. What will we do if this fails us? If God is with us, if God is for us, it does not matter whether we live or die. We shall be with the Lord if we die. And if we live, the Lord shall be with us, even unto the end. Beloved brothers and sisters, those who go down to the sea in ships soon find out their own weaknesses. We have no strength left at all. We're less than nothing in vanity. Let God then be our confidence and Him alone. I exhort all who believe to have more confidence in God than in anything else at all. Believe in the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your life. Cast yourself upon Him completely. You will never believe too much. Your friends forsake you. If all means of comfort fail you, let your trust, your confidence, your faith be so thoroughly in God that all those things make no difference to you. They do not move you. It's a glorious thing to have an anchor in the skies, in the heavens, to hold on to that sure and firm anchor that will not fail. When everything else is dragging, when the earth itself is dissolved, we have an anchor sure and steadfast within the veil of heaven. Even our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in the middle of the sea, you're often brought to situations where if God does not help you, you will be swallowed up by the water. You and I are always in that same condition in life. we have to rest in the Lord. But apart from Him, we are eternally wrecked. There's no room for self-confidence, whether we're on land or sea. Since God is the only true and enduring confidence of men, whether on earth or on ocean, faith grows wherever you are, because it is a tree of life. It is a plant which the Lord Himself gives and which the Lord Himself nourishes. Blessed be God. For those who believe in Him, no matter where they are, no matter what their circumstances, no matter who they are, shall find that our God, the God who hears and answers prayer, the God of our salvation, the God who is the confidence of all the ends of the earth, the God who is awesome in His deeds of righteousness, is swift and strong to hear us and answer us in grace. This should stir up our hearts in praise and thanksgiving and devotion to the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we bless You. We praise You. We worship You. We adore You. For You are the God of our salvation. And apart from You, we have nothing. We are nothing. Our strength fails. Our wisdom is not sufficient to save us. And therefore, Father, this evening we cry out to You. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. We pray for those who are at the ends of the earth, who are at the ends of themselves, who are in the far off seas, in the midst of danger. Lord, You know each and every heart. You know each and every condition. And yet You are the Savior of Your people. Oh, we pray that You by the Spirit will cause us to cry out unto You. And You will give us repentance unto life and true saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for the comfort, for the promise, for the assurance that You have given us in Your Word. And we pray that You will seal these truths to our hearts, and that You will cause us to go from strength unto strength, not our own, but Your strength, in the midst of the daily trials and struggles of this life, that we may not shipwreck, nor turn aside, nor draw back unto perdition, but that we may press on and believe unto everlasting life. Father, enable us to forget those things that are behind and to press forward, onward and upward, laying hold of our Savior and looking always unto Him. For He is our help. He is our salvation. And He is the God who hears and answers prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.